Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. On this week's episode, we get Dan and Scott's feedback on a Black Lady sketch show currently available to stream on HBO Max. And then I pitch Joe Parra Talks With You, which is available to stream on HBO Max and AdultSwim.com. And so nothing to be alarmed about, but I do have two quick clarifications. First off, to my complete and utter embarrassment, I refer to the second show that we discussed today as Joe Parra Talks To You, as opposed to the correct title of Joe Parra Talks With You for the entire pitch. And the follow-up feedback segment that we recorded later, which is a weird mistake to make when you really like the show a lot. But hey, I know people download these episodes for the unforced errors, so there you go. The second item is that Mark Klaufgraben is a guy we went to college with. Let's get into the dumpster fire. All right, so this is the what'd you think segment for a Black Lady sketch show, now streaming on HBO Max, up to two seasons now as of the recording. So you guys had a chance to check out the show. What did you think?
I thought it was great. Although, if our listeners will remember from Nyan's pitch for the show, he included a link to a glossary of terms that came up during the show, which I have to say I did appreciate because I did recognize a bunch of the references.
Yes. You're welcome, everyone, and the internet.
Yes. You know it.
Yes, that was helpful. But yeah, it was very, you know, the sketches were all pretty well written. They were funny. I liked that some of them were I liked that one of the sketches, at least, about like the post-apocalyptic conversation or, you know, like a meetup of all the girls, that they did carry that through multiple episodes. And the spy thing, too, they repeated as well, the invisible spy. But then some other sketches were just like one-offs. So it was kind of like a combination of following along with one storyline, but also like just throwing in some other random stuff. So overall, I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, there were a lot of really awesome like references. It's like my favorite one is like I didn't watch Hotline Bling like 52 times or where it was to get those moves. Basically, that was hilarious. Amongst other ones, basically, the masterclass bit was hilarious.
Oh my god, that was so good. That's probably my favorite character. That was Hadassah Olienka Youngerman Ali character. Yeah. It's amazing. So
pre-PhD.
Oh, that's right. Pre-PhD. Actually, there's a really good sketch at second season, not a total spoiler, but basically with that character and Gabrielle Union. And that's worth jumping right into the second season for. Like, it's so good. It's just an amazing character. And the fact that she does spend so much time talking about vibranium is kind of amazing.
I can't wait to see that sketch. That's gonna be amazing. So yeah, full disclosure, I'm about 2/3 of the way through episode 3, and I believe Scott, you got it all the way through the first 3, right?
I did. Yeah. Probably my favorite sketch, I would have to say, is the new hire orientation from the gang.
That was great.
Oh, blippity blippity. That's blippity, so good.
Yeah, blippity blippity. They kept talking about like their 401ks and their like health insurance. That was really great.
But don't call maternity leave. Yes.
But third and Bonaparte is always in the shade.
Exactly. Pack a light jacket.
Oh my god. There's that particular sketch does come up again in the second season.
So, oh, great.
And they do an even better, like they do an even better job with it. So I think it's worth sticking with and give nice. Another shot. Like, and I think the
the thing is kind of a bit of a spoiler alert, but is that one of the actresses, Quinta Brunson, from the first season, is not in the second season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think it's because of scheduling issues, from what I understand. Not because, like, they didn't want another show anymore, but she actually, I think, has her own show that's going to be coming out on ABC, and I think that conflicted. It's called Abbott Elementary, which I saw, like, I caught a trailer on Instagram. It actually looks really good. Huh. That's one we're probably going to have to throw in here when that comes out. It's basically just about elementary school teachers in an awful elementary school. I'm glad you guys liked it. I think it's the absurdist elements to me, like the way they approach the absurdity, put it on like the same level as like Key and Peele, Kids in the Hall, Chappelle Show. Like, I think it's up there.
Yeah, I definitely like how there's like a bit of a blend of different kinds of humor going into this, basically, because it's not just well, there is a cultural element to this, obviously, but I feel like that there's a nice blend of situational humor, wordplay across everything. And so I think that there's a nice blend. I think that everyone could take something out of this, when watching a specific episode. I mean, even my favorite was the one outtake announcing Larson O'Hall. I just love puns like that. That's just drive me batty.
Yeah, for sure. There was definitely like the humor was rapid fire for sure. And there's certainly some things that I didn't quite get, but they just went by so fast. Like, okay, now it's time to go on to the next reference.
Yeah, the scene from the dance club when they're announcing all the people playing different people, like that are depressed or backyard grillers and stuff like that. That was amazing as well.
Yes, that was also very good. Yeah, the barbecue dads. That was real. That was good.
I said barbecue dads. I can't remember what it was. Barbecue dads. Yeah, that was classic. I'm like, I don't know if it's a hockey puck, but I know because you cooked it.
Or also the one where it's the security guard in the office, and then the worker comes in and they watch the footage of from her office because her favorite coffee mug was stolen.
Oh, yeah, so good, so good.
And then, like, there's a random Lena Waithe cameo at the very end of that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was so good.
She just comes in for like 30 seconds, but it was really funny.
It was great. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think, like, and I think that each one of the ensemble brings kind of their own kind of, like, little flavor to this. But, I think that I think it's really awesome that they all got a chance to kind of go in and flex their different creative muscles like this. So, definitely a good time. I mean, I think this is, as far as, when you want to watch this, I mean, this could be watched in a group. It could be watched by yourself with a glass of your favorite adult beverage, whatever you want. I mean, a lot you can do with it.
I also thought that it was really creative what they did with the opening credits with like each one, like a puppet of each of them.
Oh, yeah. Avenue Q style, baby. Yeah.
That was good.
Like Avenue Q meets like the Muppets. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
So I guess on a scale of I'm never watching this again to this is the only show I'm ever going to watch for the rest of my life, where are we at? Like, or maybe a better question is, will you continue to watch this through the second season?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to play catch up with this for sure. I think that there's, I need something that's shorter format. A lot of the stuff that I've watched, even recommended actually here for me, has been tends to be longer format. Obviously I still keep up with Family Guy and a handful of other kind of shorter shows, but this is great. It's great for digesting. If I need something that's short to kind of tide me over to wait for Cheryl to be done or be home or whatever the case is, I think this is perfect for that. Or we watch together. We watched a lot of the first episode together, honestly. So
yeah, well, and especially since Nyan has just told us that some of our favorite sketches come back in the second season, that's certainly an incentive to keep up with it. And I like the fact that they're half hour episodes, so very easy to kind of just get one knock one out and in a pretty short amount of time, and then you can either move on to another one because you can because they are pretty short. Each episode is pretty short. Or it just, you know, if you have a little bit of time, you can fit one episode in. So that will make it easier to keep up with, I think.
Yeah. So I mean, in closing, you know, I just have to say these ladies, as they say on a certain coffee mug, they're killing it.
Nice.
I hope they start selling those coffee mugs, by the way.
Oh, time to check the HBO store. I'm sure they're
on. Oh, yeah. Just, I, for the record, I'm not getting the OJ one.
Good call.
I think I think that's a safe decision.
All right, guys. So you are now required to listen to me talk about Joe Parra Talks to You, which is currently available on HBO Max and Adult Swim as part of the Adult Swim collection on HBO Max. What I'd like to do before I get into this is not, you know, do the usual spiel where we start to talk about the show. But what I'd like to do is read something that someone said to me after I suggested they watch episode 6 of season 1 of Joe Parra. And I quote, "This is a gift." Nye in this perfectly, and he says perfectly again in all caps, captures the aesthetic of the first time I heard Baba O'Reilly. I was Joe Parra. I kind of still am. Thank you.
Wow. All right.
Gentlemen, that was written by Mark Lofgraven.
Oh, that's perfect.
Of the fame. He wrote the words Baba O'Reilly on Facebook, and I said, hey, you should check out season 1, episode 6 of Joe Parra Talks to You, because Baba O'Reilly factors really well into that. This is the kind of endorsement we've got for this show, guys, because I know no one listens to me or my opinions, but we all kind of listen to Mark in some way, shape, or form.
Mark definitely has a discerning taste, and I think that, you know, that says waves about this.
Yeah. And so when it comes to the show, because it comes in such small chunks, because it's taking the Adult Swim half of a half hour format. So most episodes are only like 11 minutes or something like that. So you guys can knock out quite a bit pretty easily. You could probably even go through the entire first season, nice, which is only like, it's like 8 or 9 episodes pretty quickly. And it shouldn't be too much of an issue. What I would recommend, however, is starting with episode 6, the one that I shared with Mark and who was very, very clear that it was a gift to him. And I think this is a gift to you, because I don't know if you've seen Joe Parra at all. Have you guys run into him? He's shown up on late night shows and stuff, usually to rep the show, but and plug it. But I don't know if the name rings a bell. Have you guys had any experience with this whatsoever?
I don't think so.
No, I don't believe so either.
Okay, so in terms of a lot of the Adult Swim shows, a lot of they kind of just had the Tim and Eric model and ran with it, right? Like, it became sort of just having the most random, absurdist, outrageous stuff happen constantly in 15-minute chunks and just have people absorb it and love it. And I think that's a bit of a turnoff for people after a while, because I appreciate that stuff, but I've just got to live it, man. And I'm old now. All I want to do is sit down with a glass of like warm tea, not hot, because hot. I don't need it when it comes.
But you don't want to burn your tongue, dude.
Right, exactly. I know. I'm old. Like, I get AARP stuff. I get AARP stuff. I don't get that first A yet. I'm not quite there yet.
You're just one AARP?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, eventually.
He's ARP, he's not ARP.
Exactly. Thank you. So I kind of just need stuff to work in incrementally and slow it down. Really, just there are points in life where I'm just like, I just want to take it back a notch and really just relax. Like, I'm at this point where I've gone from like hardcore, like from Slayer to like Kenny G. Like, I'm good. Like, sometimes I just want to take it down a notch and I want to get that Jerry Mulligan like jazz going. And so to me,
as long as you don't go to John Tesh level, you're fine.
Exactly. No, this never hits John Tesh level. And I think that's the beauty of Joe Parra Talks to You, because Joe Parra Talks to You is basically a series that does ultimately have a through line, but most of it is just this very specifically charactered choir teacher, high school choir teacher, who just tells you about stuff. And it's kind of done brilliantly, because he'll do things like he will talk to you about iron. He will tell you how to order breakfast. He will teach you to dance. He will also read the church announcements. But every episode, as kind of weird and mundane as it sounds, there's so much depth to it. And there's actually a solid through line throughout the entire first and second season. That it's such a night that doesn't involve like people just going from quiet to people screaming at you. But like, there's just this nice, I hate to say NPR. I hate to say Prairie Home Companion, but he does look like he's kind of a clone of Garrison Keillor in some way. but he's just a nice, chill dude from the UP in Michigan who is there to tell you about stuff. And that's what he does 11 minutes at a time for a bunch of episodes.
So is there like a plot?
So there is a plot. I don't want to give too much of it away, but a lot of it's broken up into him just talking about stuff that happens in his life. And it's kind of like an episode of This American Life with Ira Glass, in that it just sort of gives you a slice of what's going on with Joe Parra at that particular point in time. And like, for example, in the Joe Parra Talks to You About Breakfast, he just goes to a diner that he goes to on a regular basis and talks about breakfast with the owner and the people who are there, but also just talks about what he usually gets for breakfast. That's it. 11 minutes of that. I know that sounds insane. I know that sounds like, why would you ever make me want to watch this? But it's like the most calming chicken soup for the soul that doesn't make me want to punch myself in the face that I've ever had.
Nice. Wow. I mean, if that's not an endorsement for the show, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's, man. It's just so nice. And I don't know. I feel like it works, because and I think the tricky thing is, if you started with the first episode and you jumped right into it, I don't know if it would grab you as much as if you jumped into episode 6, which is the one I gave to Mark.
Right.
Which is the one that Mark responded with and said, this is a gift. And so that's what I would ask you guys to do. What I'm going to ask you to do after we record this episode, I want you to go. I want you to go to HBO Max. I want you to go to HBO Max and find Joe Parra Talks to You. I want you to find Joe Parra Talks to You on HBO Max, and I want you to go to season 1. And I want you to go to season 1 of Joe Parra Talks to You on HBO Max, and I want you to go to episode 6. Joe Parra reads the church announcements. And from there, I want you to watch what is pure and utter joy. And just kind of just chill. And if you could do it with like a cup of weak tea, I think it'd be great. If you want to do a cup of strong tea, that's fine too. But what I think is that this series, in a real weird way, puts you in touch with feelings that I, you know, as an attorney, I didn't think I had feelings anymore. And this show taught me that I actually do. And I like kind of quiet and relaxation and really just taking the time to listen to someone who's talking slow, because he talks slow, and really just settle in and enjoy the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, because he'll talk about rocks. He'll talk about his friend Gene. And through all of this, there is a through line, and there is one person you might recognize from other work. Her name's Jo Firestone. She showed up in Random Things. I don't know if that name rings a bell to you guys.
It sounds familiar, yes.
She has like a couple podcasts. Actually bought a, and she created the, I think with her dad, she created the board game Punderdome.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a very, in Adult Swim, which is just a sea of like irony and shouting frustration and constant snark, this is something that's just genuine and honest and very straightforward. Like, it is what it is. And it gives you the time to just sit down, relax. And Dan, it gives you a chance to get away from the hustle and bustle of Manhattan. and it just sort of feel like you're sitting in a sitting in someone's living room in the upper peninsula of Michigan. And Scott,
can I be in a rocking chair talking about how Pepperidge Farm remembers?
It wouldn't hurt. I mean, I think that's not a bad idea. And so Scott, this nice is going to feel like Connecticut.
I was going to say maybe we should go to a Cracker Barrel and just sit in the rocking chairs in front.
There you go.
That would be amazing.
It's good to have land.
So I'm going to recommend you guys do is watch episode 6 and then start with 1 and 2. And I think you may want to keep watching to go all the way through because it helps that the episodes are super short. Like,
yeah,
they truly
that's,
are
that,
like,
I mean, that's shorter than some YouTube videos I watched, dude.
Exactly. So it's not a big time commitment, but it will nourish your soul. And you guys may feel feelings again, which I don't know if any of us have felt in a while. This was new to me. After law school, all of my feelings were dead, my love of music and anything. And so this was nice. I got married and everything, but you know, it was mostly the show that resurrected any love that I have had of anything. So this was cool. So and thanks, Joe Pera.
Yeah. So you're saying episode 6, church announcements. I think I'm going to give it a shot. Because if I'm in a church, I might say, pew, pew, pew.
Oh, God
damn. Hashtag dad joke.
Oh, suddenly you're going to... Oh, would you want me to subscribe to PewDiePie now?
Sorry.
No, fair enough. No, I opened myself for it. It's cool. It's cool. But definitely then move on to episode 1. Joe Pera talks to you about iron. And then Joe Pera talks to you about breakfast.
Nice. Well, and given the fact that you made not one but 2 NPR references in this episode of the podcast, I mean, that's remarkable just in and of itself.
True.
Yeah, I think that those are the most NPR references we've made to date.
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean, seriously, all things considered, you know?
Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air. It's almost like your my hidden brain is coming forward and telling us all about this planet.
Wait, don't tell me. What episode should I watch next?
Nah, gosh darn it. You always beat me to it.
You've been listening to the NPR pun talk.
The NPR puncast.
Puncast, yeah.
Beyond Punderdome.
You've been puncast.
Well, this certainly seems like something different from what I usually watch, so I am intrigued to see what it's like.
As am I.
Well, we tried. That brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. Please join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on iTunes, or if you didn't listen to this on iTunes, please complain about us on your social media platform of choice. Good night, everybody.